using crayfish as an indicator for the success of marine protected areas. We're speaking to Vince Kerr, an independent biologist based in Whangarei, who consults on biological surveys and research into marine conservation areas.
Over the last 5 and 6 years, I've teamed up with Dr. Roger Grace, who's a well-known marine biologist in New Zealand and photographer, and we have set up a monitoring program at Mimifonata Marine Park here in Northland on the Whangarei coast. And over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, we've looked at combining research that's been done at Tawharanui Marine Park down by Warkworth on the coast there with the Mimifonata data. And we've just published a paper on crayfish populations in those two parks in an international journal of biological conservation. We were able to tackle a study like this because Roger had the sort of foresight back in the 70s when the first monitoring programs were set up at Tawharanui and Mimifonata to set up a parallel study. In other words, he used similar methodologies and set them up so that they could actually be compared with each other. And because we've now sort of reinstated over the last 4 years that monitoring system, we've been able to put together a data story, if you like, of change over time of these crayfish populations as these two marine parks have been set up. They were both established in the 80s and have been developing, you know, for some 20 years. So it's a very, very rare study over a long period of time where two different types of marine protected areas can be compared directly against each other and also compared against areas outside those parks that we're also monitoring that are fished just like the normal coast.
The length of the study almost seems as significant as the findings.
Yeah, that's correct. That's sort of one of the key reasons why the International Journal was interested in the paper. It's not every day you publish in these kind of journals. But around the world, there's tremendous interest in completely no-take marine protected areas. And likewise, the comparison with partial protection, where we try out different management regimes and so on, it's a hot topic around the world with marine biologists.
Tell me about the actual results that you got.
The first thing to get an understanding of it is Mimifonata is what we refer to as a partial protection management area, where commercial fishing was phased out and recreational fishing in Mimifonata is allowed to continue. Recreational divers can take crayfish, and a recreational fisher can have one crayfish pot, and they can fish with a line and a single hook for fish like snapper and trevally and kawa, kingfish, and so on. So it's pretty close to a normal fishing area for recreational fishers, but commercial fishing has been excluded since 1993 in Mimifonata Marine Park. In Tawharanui, which is also a marine park, they had a completely different set of rules, and it was set up as a completely no-take reserve from the middle 80s onwards to today. So in that sense, it mirrors what we call a marine reserve here in New Zealand, which is fully no-take. So that was the sort of setup we had, and basically we have areas that we permanently monitor transects that are 50 meters long and 10 meters wide, and we very carefully look in every crack and crevice and count and size the crayfish on these transects. And we have transects in Tawharanui and Mimifonata parks, as well as outside of Tawharanui in the normal fished area. The results of our survey in the Tawharanui Marine Park are the bit that's quite spectacular. And what it shows is spectacular recovery of crayfish populations there, probably to levels that are as close to natural as we can get. And we've counted on our transects there that are 500 meters square in area. We've counted up to 80 crayfish, and there are some very large crayfish. The behaviors of those animals are different than on the normal fish coast. You see them more out in the open. They're not all hidden away during the daytime. In fact, you even see them moving around sometimes, and definitely a lot of animals right into the shallow waters. In contrast, outside of Tawharanui Marine Park and the fished area, crayfish numbers are dwindling now to where you can hardly see legal-sized crayfish on the transects. And we're starting to get, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, we're getting zero counts in some of those transects outside of the marine park. At Mimifonata, the transects reflect the non-commercial fishing area, but recreational fishers have continued to fish there. And the levels of crayfish are sort of similar to outside of the protected area or the normal fished area. In other words, there's very little difference between the partial protection and normal fishing in terms of the crayfish populations. And so all up at Mimi-Fanata in the shallow waters, the numbers have sort of continued to decline since the 70s, and they're now at really quite low levels where we're only finding a few animals on each transect, and we're finding no large individuals. So what we've got there is a direct comparison between a partial protection management system and a normally fished part of the coast and a fully protected reserve. And over a very long period, we're seeing that kind of dramatic result. The implications of that are really the frightening bit, because crayfish are a very popular species. They're sort of in demand by recreational fishers and, of course, really important commercially. Their numbers have really been depleted seriously on this coast. And we're at the stage now where we're starting to become more aware of ecological sort of effects of taking out this predator species. As a top predator species, they have a significant role on these shallow reefs. There's now a whole series of problems that we're starting to become aware of.
Vince, is it dependent on how degraded the area was prior to becoming protected? Would that not have an influence?
That's a very good point, and it really is a question. In our case, we didn't have a whole series of different situations to test. We just had the one situation at Mimi-Fanata. And we do know from oral history and anecdotal evidence that even in the 70s, the crayfish populations had decreased quite a lot from natural levels. They were heavily fished commercially in the 50s and 60s and on into the 70s. So really, we need to conclude from that is that if a population is fished down, then continued fishing pressure is a problem. If you start with a high population or a fully functioning population, it can probably withstand quite significant fishing pressure as long as it's managed properly. But for a population that's whittled down to, say, less than 10%, that's probably not the case. And that seems to be the situation we have at Mimi-Fanata.
Looking at the results, why was there basically no crayfish under legal size in the fully fished area after 1984, and the low numbers that were there were actually legal size? I thought it would be at least around the other way. Does this kind of relate somehow to recruitment?
We do have some evidence from behavior studies of crayfish that they are gregarious, especially in their young stages. It's sort of limited knowledge, but we have experience from people who have worked in the field a lot and some experimental work that shows that crayfish prefer to have company. And the hypothesis to explain what we're seeing in the data is basically that the crayfish, when they land and find crayfish cracks and dens without any crayfish in them or very few crayfish, they start to look elsewhere. And this could have to do with all kinds of social reasons and safety and numbers reasons and eventually breeding sort of strategies and so on.
Is there a bias because the location of marine protected areas are specifically selected for high productivity and diversity of habitat?
In terms of Tawharanui Nui, it's pretty representative, really, those reefs of that whole coast. In terms of Mimi-Fanata, there are some aspects of Mimi-Fanata that are somewhat special compared to the rest of the coast. There's a little bit more sort of diversity of the coast and shelter, but that hasn't really shown up in the results because, in terms of Mimi-Fanata, because basically even with a more diversified habitat, it's still not performing as in terms of the crayfish population restoring itself.
Now, Vince, do marine protected areas actually benefit local fisheries?
A similar story has occurred at Lee in the fully protected area, that crayfish numbers have built up over time, and there's something like 10 times more of crayfish inside than outside, and the size of the population collectively is more than 10 times, up to 25 times greater. So there's a big difference between inside and outside. The scientists there have done some studies on crayfish reproduction, and they estimate that the crayfish in the Lee Marine Reserve account for an equivalent in terms of breeding and larval production of 100 kilometers of coastline on our coast. In other words, 5 kilometers of marine reserve puts out as much crayfish spawn and larvae into the system as 100 kilometers of our fished coast. And a lot of work has been done on those calculations, and although they might not be exactly accurate, they show the significance of these reserves. There's other research as well that shows that large individuals are really important to the breeding population of crayfish. Crayfish, for some reason, tend to like large males to mate with, and large male crayfish actually service about 7 or 8 female crayfish, whereas a young male that's just on legal size hardly can service 1 female. So there's a huge difference between the production from large individuals than small. And in the Fish Coast, those small individuals dominate the population, and large individuals are basically fished out. So there are things going on like that that are very, very large differences between the fished area and the reserve, and therefore potential for the reserve to keep the population from declining further, but also to restore the population as we change management in the future is huge.
A couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. Costello from Lee Marine Reserve on the show talking about his research that less than 1% of marine protected areas around the world actually aren't fully protected. Your study actually adds weight to this, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And as I said before, it is a really hot topic around the world because there are many, many, many types of partial protection marine management systems in place.
Some just for tourism.
I mean, I once visited a marine protected area on the Oregon coast in the States, and it had all these signs and everything about this wonderful sanctuary and everything. And then you got down on this rock platform, and there was a sign that told you all the species that you could take. And they were literally all the species that lived there. It's sort of the Clayton's Reserve, if you like. And that has been the result, I suppose, of the difficult politics around any kind of management in the sea. But at the end of the day, there is some science behind these issues. And science is very certainly focusing on this issue at the moment, trying to actually find ways of identifying what can be gained from these partial protection sort of marine protected areas versus the advantages of having a network of fully protected reserves.
That was biologist Vince Kirk.